Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
The Sleuth's Conundrum by Kimberly Rose Johnson. Adam and Tara are sucked into a police investigation that might get Tara killed. Can Adam keep her safe, or will he lose her forever? Tara James, the local librarian assistant, is afraid her past will catch up to her when an infant is abandoned outside the Tipton County Library. Will news of the abandoned baby stir up publicity and force her to go on the run again? Librarian Nancy Daly's world has become complicated. Carter is pushing to set a wedding date. A woman was left for dead on the side of the road, and Tara, her assistant, is acting strange. Nancy is working every angle she can think of, but the case goes from bad to bizarre. Can she find the baby's mother, help Tara, and plan her wedding without upsetting her life's delicate balance? Slow news days become a thing of the past for local reporter Adam Stacy when a dead body is discovered on the side of the road. Was the woman murdered? Or was it an accident? Adam's feelings are growing for Tara, but she appears to have secrets she's hiding. Is she somehow connected to the abandoned infant? When things go from bad to worse, Adam does everything in his power to protect Tara. But will it be enough?
Hi, and welcome to this week's The Romantic Society of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hemmerker, and I'm so glad you joined me. Today, I'm talking with award-winning author Kimberly Rose Johnson. She has been writing for, I think, a while now. Her new book, The Sleuth's Conundrum, comes out this October, and I'm just thrilled that we're going to be able to talk about writing and romantic suspense. So welcome to the show, Kimberly.
Thank you.
So, I often get asked by readers, how do you come up with your ideas? So let's start with that one, because to me, you know, I can get inspiration, you know, washing dishes sometimes, tell me what, for you, where have you found some of your inspiration for some of your plots?
Sure. I can relate to being inspired by just about anything. I mean, a phone conversation with somebody and my mind will take off. Just kind of going beyond what they mentioned, you know. I have one book in the Sleuth series that I've written where I knew who the characters would be, but I didn't quite, I was having a difficult time coming up with the mystery part of this particular book. And so I Googled story prompts and I get my idea from that. So, I mean, inspiration can come from anywhere. My husband said, I think you could tell a story just by watching somebody walk down the street and you'd come up with a story idea. So it's just kind of how that creative brain works sometimes.
Yeah. And haven't you done that? I mean, haven't you, like when my kids were younger and I took them to the park and they were playing, I look at everyone else and I think, what story can I tell about if I didn't know
absolutely
about them? Because I think it makes, I don't know, it makes life more interesting to me. And, it's always, even though I may never use those, it's always been fun to find those inspirations. So the other thing that I find, for me, the hardest parts of writing is coming up with character names. Do you, and one year for Christmas, I asked for, I think like the, 1001 baby names. And I was like, no, I'm not having another baby. my youngest was like 2 at the time. I was like, I need this to help me name my characters. So how do you come up with character, your characters, their names?
Sure. I Google the year of their birth for popular baby names so I can see what names were being used at that year.
That's a great idea.
Sometimes I'll change it. Like I'm writing a book right now that I shouldn't say I'm writing it. I am rewriting a book that I wrote probably 8 years ago. And I have since used a particular character name in a recent book. Mm. So I renamed her and I used a name that I knew was common at that time period when she would have been born. And I didn't have to look that one up because I'm just familiar with that age group. So,
right.
Anyway, yeah.
Right. It's funny. Sometimes you kind of see a theme in character names. Sometimes you read a book, you're like, oh, well, that must be the popular the popular name of the day.
I mean, yeah. And I tend to like certain names, and I'll keep naming characters that, and then I'll come back to that book later on and think, oh, well, I just actually had a book published with that character name, so I had to change, because like books I didn't publish before, and I go back and revamp them, books I wrote before I was published type thing.
Right.
So, yeah.
I know. It seems like, you know, the character names, it means, to me, I thought it was harder than naming my own children. I'll just be honest.
Oh, wow.
To me, I don't know. I mean, I can name, like, I don't know. For me, it's just sometimes it just was hard to find. And last names. Last names drive me crazy.
Last names, those are really hard. Those are harder for me than first names.
Yeah. So what do you do? I mean, I want to know for myself. My listeners might find this interesting. But well, how do you figure out the last name?
Well, sometimes I go to the Social Security. They have a list of last names. And sometimes I'll do that. Sometimes if it's a certain nationality or if I want someone to be part from a certain country, I'll check common last names from that country. It also needs to sound good with the first name. It can't be awkward to my ear.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm not super picky about last names because generally speaking, I will only use it at the very beginning when they're introduced. Of course, that's more for just contemporary romance. When I do a suspense, I will often actually call the character by their last name. So I'm a bit more careful with that, if that's
right.
What they end up being called.
Yes, yes.
So like in my Edge of Truth, I have the bad guy always being called by the last name, almost never being used by, you know, his first name. So in that instance, I was very careful about the last name. It had to be something that really worked, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, I totally understand that. And I think it can be... you know, you do have to have a care for how they sound together, because sometimes you say it and you're like, oh, no, that's not going to, that's
exactly.
not, because it does evoke, I think, this sense that either we like the person or we don't. And I know we're talking about characters here, but I think that's how we connect to our characters. And if we say their first and last name together and we're like, no, that just gives you not the right feeling or kind of a unsettled feeling. That's not how you want your hero or your heroine
exactly.
you know, to feel, to go through life. So, I think you really do need to have a care. How else do you connect with your characters while we're on the character theme here?
Oh, I don't know. I guess I have a general sense of the story and what I need my characters to be like.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the more I write, the more I get to know them. I have to do a lot of rewriting because I'm a seat of the pants writer. And as I get to know my characters more, I often will go back and rewrite things in. And I make notes in the margins. Like, you know what, if you put on track changes, I'll put notes over on the side for things. For example, with the book I'm rewriting right now, I have lots of notes for the spiritual thread to remind myself this is what I want to do. Or I have a note to tell myself something about the person's brother. It's just as I get, you know, more familiar with this again, because I wrote this so long ago, different ideas about this character or I'm sensing different things about this character that come into play, and I want to make sure they get put in because I'm a much different writer now than I was pre-published.
Right. So. And that's so true. I mean, just like with any profession, you know, when the more we write, the better we become at it, we hope. I hope I'm a much better writer than I was, 10 years ago. But you know, I mean, the character, I'm a pantser, which for my listeners who are not writers, that means I don't plot a lot. I'll have a basic idea and the characters talk to me in my head and tell me what they want to do. So that seems to be what you're saying as well, Kimberly.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes. So sometimes you're right. You start out with one character and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, she's going to add this. So I need to go back and, you know, add that in to that. And it's almost, I kind of liken it as I'm going on a first date with them, you know, in the beginning, I'm like, oh yeah, these are the little things. And then by the time we get to date number five, you know, I'm halfway through the book, I'm like, oh right, I need to go back and add this because that should be obvious. Kind of from the beginning.
Absolutely. I have notes in my margin that say, go back and add this. It needs to be sooner.
Yeah, right. And that connection with our characters, I mean, with their name and with what they do and stuff, I mean, they do become real people to us. They are really real. And I'm almost, you hear writers, especially if you write a series, which I haven't done yet, but write a series where like the main characters reappear in all the books, must be kind of either you're going to get sick of them or at the end you're going to be kind of sad that you're saying goodbye to them.
I have found it refreshing. The Library and Sleuth series, my character Nancy is in every single book with a point of view, and each book that follows has another, because it's a romantic mystery suspense type book. So I introduce a new couple in each book that have their own point of view. But it is so refreshing to start writing and know Nancy. And I mean, I know her so well. And it's so much easier to write her because I know her so well. And it's, oh, I love it.
Well, I'm sure your readers do too, because I mean, I like to read books where either the main character is reoccurring or even those secondary characters who can really become, really important to our stories. And also, like you said, like an old friend. Oh, good. I get to write Nancy again. She gets to appear in this book and come. And your readers are hopefully finding that same connection with Nancy that you do. So that's like a bonus.
I hope so.
I know. We can only hope that our readers love our readers. I hope you love our characters as much as we do. So,
Exactly.
in writing romantic suspense, we have to kill people sometimes. And have you ever regretted killing a character?
You know, it's interesting because I'm relatively new at romantic suspense. I haven't actually killed somebody.
Oh, my goodness, Kimberly.
In my one, I have one book out that's true romantic suspense, and there wasn't a murder in it. And then I in this sleuth conundrum, I do have a character who killed, but it wasn't on purpose. So I didn't have to have a murder there. Now, all of that being said, the next book that comes out in that series, there is a murder, and I have second guessed myself many times.
Oh,
So we'll see what my publisher says because I don't have the edits back yet.
right.
But yeah,
Yeah,
so I
don't
do know
say
what you mean.
anymore.
It's just, yeah, I just haven't had a lot of experience with that. So.
Right. In my in a book that I've written that I haven't published yet, I'll probably indie publish it. I did kill off a character, actually two minor characters, and I kind of didn't want to. One of them I kind of didn't want to, but I was like, I have to. It's what the story needs. And I think that can be kind of a tension because I kind of liked her. I didn't really
Oh,
want her
that's
to
hard.
die, but she needed to. So, which is terrible, in a sense. But we're talking about characters, so it's all good. It's all good. Not real people here. But I do,
I'm
yeah.
not sure. Have you ever killed off a main character? Because I don't think I could ever kill off a main character.
I haven't, but I've read books where a main character has died, and I've been. Sometimes I felt cheated by that. I'm like,
Yeah,
really?
that's kind of where I am.
So I think you have to be careful that you don't kill off, a character who is so prominent in your book that your readers are going to be super angry at you. It's that tension. We want you, our readers, to enjoy our books, but we don't want you to be angry and say, I'm never going to read this person again because you killed off a character that they really, 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 really liked. So, although researching ways to kill characters really makes for a fun Google algorithm, and so I always find that that's kind
I'm
of
kind of
funny.
afraid to do that.
Yeah, I had poison in one, and I'm looking up all these poisons, how to, do this and that, and consulted with someone I know who's in medical school, and I was just thinking, that was several years ago, I was just thinking, oh, huh, this is not gonna look good if my ghost sees my
Well,
history.
see, and that's a big problem with killing characters off, because that's exactly what happened to me with this particular story that my publisher has, is I used poison. And I'm like, I'm not going to Google how to poison somebody.
Oh, I
So
did it,
I
Kimberly.
fortunately have a book. Well, I have a book written by a doctor who wrote it for authors.
Okay.
So for writers, so people had written in and asked questions, and I got my poison from him because it's like I was afraid. I was like, well, I don't want to show up on all these watch lists and everything.
Yeah, I know. I was a little bit, but I was like, I didn't know about that book. So maybe when we're done, you have to tell me the name. But I just, you know, I do just kind of, Google, and I Google weird things too. That was the other thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, just like off the wall stuff. I can't think of anything right now, of course, but I know that, you know, and sometimes, like one time I had a Google, I think flannel shirts because I need my character to wear one. And I just hadn't looked at them in a store. And I was like, well, what are the plaids now? What do they look like and stuff? And then I kept seeing all these Google ads pop up for flannel shirts. I'm like, I'm not buying that. But I'm like, it's all messed up because I am not buying a shirt.
Exactly. That happens to me all the time. I'll be Googling something for research, and all of a sudden I get the ads constantly coming in. It's like, oh, good grief.
Yeah, but I
just needed to know a car.
Right. Yes, I did that the other day. I said, I need to know a car. It needs to be a hybrid because that's what I wanted my heroine to drive. And I'm looking it up, and I'm thinking, oh, yeah, now I'm going to get all the Volkswagen ads. Thank you.
Yeah,
but I figure I'm just messing with them because, you know, I'm never going to buy it, and they can just send me all the ads, and I can just ignore.
Yeah.
Right,
it is annoying, though.
It is annoying, but I just feel like I'm messing up with all their, you know, research. They think they got me, and they don't. So I figure that's just
right.
A little bit of payback, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, Kimberly, we are at the end of our time. Is there anything else you want to say about your The Sluice Conundrum, which is your most recent book that's coming out in October?
Just that it's probably the most suspenseful of the series. I would call it more a suspenseful romantic mystery, and I hope everyone will read it. It's my favorite book in the series.
So. Oh, well, that's good to know. So, listeners, yeah. I know you enjoyed an excerpt during this podcast, so I hope you'll check out Kimberly's book. So thanks for being on my show today, Kimberly.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hammerker, and this is a show where I talk to authors of romantic suspense, and we give you a little behind-the-scenes peek at our writing journey and a new book. So I hope you'll join me next time. Thanks for joining me today.
Now an excerpt from The Sleuth's Conundrum by Kimberly Rose Johnson. Tara James waved to one of the sheriff deputies as he stopped his car for her to cross. She raced across the street as the dark clouds overhead released a deluge of water. Fitting, considering how her morning had started. Rain dripped from her raincoat hood onto her face. Why today, of all days, did her car have to die? At least it wasn't foggy here like it had been at her house. Lightning flashed. She yelped and dashed under the cover of the library awning. A soft cry caught her attention. She looked to her right, and then left, and gasped. What are you doing there all alone? A tiny baby lay wrapped in a pink blanket, cradled in a baby carrier. She checked to see if anyone was nearby. Who would leave a newborn outside and all alone, especially in a storm like this? No one walked or loitered nearby. Tara frowned and grasped the handle of the baby carrier tucked behind a large flower pot. She grunted at the weight. My, you're a heavy little girl for being so small, Tara cooed as she reached for the diaper bag sitting behind it. Hello, precious. We need to get you inside where it's warm and dry. Why weren't the doors opening? She stood in the trigger zone. Wait a minute. The entire library was blanketed in darkness. The power must be out. Surely Nancy was inside, though. She reached for the little-used door to the right of the sliding door and tugged. It didn't budge. The infant's cries increased in intensity. Shh, little one. Now what should she do? She never remembered to carry an umbrella, and the baby would get soaked if they left the cover of the awning. The doors suddenly slid open, and the lights turned on. It's your lucky day, Tara said. The irony of her comment was not lost on her. Thunder boomed and rattled the windows. Tara jumped. She hated storms. I don't remember the last time we had thunder like that. She crossed her arms. Who would abandon a helpless baby on a day like today? Tara looked down at the infant, and her heart melted. She squatted and unhooked the safety restraint. How long was the power out? 30 minutes tops. Are you thinking what I'm thinking? Nancy moved around her desk and powered on her computer. I'll pull up the security footage while I get my mom on the phone. Nancy's mother was the local sheriff, so it made sense that she would call her directly rather than 911. And I'll see if she needs a diaper change. Do you think she's hungry? Nancy shrugged. She had her phone to her ear. Tara lifted the light-as-a-feather baby from the carrier and cradled her. Shh, it's going to be okay. The baby quieted and snuggled against her. Her heart melted. Sudden tears burned her eyes. She blinked them away. Tara knew little about babies, but how hard could changing a diaper be? She peeked inside the diaper bag and spotted an envelope. What do we have here? She reached for it, then drew out the single sheet of paper. This is Amelia. She's a week old. I wish I could keep her, but my circumstances won't allow it. Please love her for me and take good care of her. Clearly, her mom cared deeply for her, so why leave her baby at the library? Amelia started crying again. Okay, I hear you, precious. Tara dug through the large bag and reached for a changing pad and diaper. At least your mama left some supplies. She proceeded to change her diaper. Sure enough, it was soaked. Poor thing. Nancy slid her phone into the pocket of her oversized cardigan. My mom is coming. The library doors slid open, and Sheriff Daly strode inside, wearing a long raincoat. What do we have here? She spoke in a soft, gentle voice Tara had never heard the seasoned lawwoman use. Babies had a way of bringing out the mushy side of people, and apparently Nancy's mom was no exception.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.